4, in verses 13 through 35. I'm so thankful for Marky, as always, and the Lord had changed my message this morning, and I was going in one direction, but after I got here and started talking with Mark, the Lord changed my message and headed us in a different direction, and praise the Lord that Mark was able to come up with some slides and get some things up there, and also come up with the title of the message. He said, "Brother Tim, this is what you ought to title this thing." I said, "Yes, sir. Thank you, Marky." And so anyhow, I appreciate Mark and working with me and being so flexible with God changing the message. Thank the Lord that he's here early, because he's learned by now that sometimes God changes a message. You have one direction and God takes you another. Amen. And so Mark's always here early to take care of that change in direction for me, and him and Miss Nina, I appreciate them, and they are a blessing to do a lot back there for me, especially when the Lord changes the messages. So God bless y'all. Thank y'all. Love you. Give them a hand back there in the back. Praise the Lord. Luke 24 is where we'll be, and we'll look at verses 13 through 35. And we're going to talk about walking with Jesus. May you go to the Lord with me in prayer. Our Father and our God, Lord, we're just so excited to be in your house. God, I just thank you for what you're doing. And God, I pray today, the Lord, that you would open up our hearts and you'd open up our minds and our ears, God. May we receive your word, the Lord, and apply it to our life, the Lord, that we can understand our need of walking with Jesus, the Lord, and get a view of the two disciples that were walking on the road of Emmaus. And God, how you joined their conversation and you begin to journey with them and walk with them, the Lord. And God, I pray that our walks can be strengthened with you today. That God, that you'll defeat the devil, you'll bind him up, the Lord, and any opposition, God, he is not welcome here. In the name of Jesus, we bind him up, God, and ask you to cast him out, the Lord, and let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to work and move in our hearts and in our lives, the Lord. God, we thank you for your mighty hand. God, we thank you for your movement. God, we do pray for those that are traveling today and those that are sick and had surgery over the weekend and those that couldn't be here, God, many of them. And God, we remember them in prayers today. And God, I ask your special blessing upon them, the Lord, and give them a speedy recovery and bring them back with us soon, the Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I pray that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary today. God, fill me with the words that you desire me to say, the Lord, that we can preach your message, the Lord, without fear and favor of man, but because of the boldness that we have in you, God. May we declare your word today and the truth of your word. God, your word is precious. God, I pray for the anointing of the reading of your word, that as we open it up and we read it, that God, your word would go forward. It'll cut where it needs to cut. It'll pierce where it needs to pierce. It'll convict where it needs to convict. God, may we open up our hearts and our minds and our ears today. God, may we receive your word, but not only receive it, but be doers of your word and do something about what we receive. God, we love you today. We praise you. God, this service is yours. We give it to you. And God, I pray that you again hide me behind the cross of Calvary, anoint the reading of your word, and God, open our hearts and our minds and our ears to receive it. God, we love you. May it change us. May we be convicted. May we not be the same as what we walked in here as. But God, may we be excited, refreshed, and renewed. God, reclaim us where we need to reclaim. God, save us where we need to be saved. God, may you work today through your word. God, we love you. We praise you. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. On the road to Emmaus, start with me in verse 13. It said, "Behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, which means was about 7 miles away. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these? They have one to another, as you walk and are sad. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not known these things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished and were early at the sepulchre. And when they had found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found even as it said a woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow to heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and he blessed it, and he brake it, and he gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, This Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking the bread. When I look back here, I see here is a thrilling story of Easter. I see as we are heading that way, as Adam has said, as Palm Sunday, as we're heading to that precious day, there are two men walking alone, talking about the events that have just took place, a sad occurrence in the heart. And I looked at this, and I figured, and I wondered in my mind, how many times have they seen Jesus? How many times had they heard his talking? How many times had they been around with him and walking with him? How many times had the scripture had been opened up to them from the Old Testament, understanding of Moses' teachings and through the prophets and all the way through Psalms and into Malachi? How many times had that scripture been opened up to them, but yet in their heart they still didn't believe? Yet in their heart they were still saddened. Yet in their heart there was still something lacking in their life. And my friend, it affects me, and I wonder how many times, week after week, Sunday after Sunday, are there ministers that are preaching the Word of God throughout across the world and proclaiming Jesus as Lord and telling the glorious gospel of Jesus, and how many times it just falls on deaf ears? How many times that it doesn't register in people's mind? Here there was these two men. They were talking about the events that occurred, and then a stranger joins their conversation. They thought it was a stranger. That stranger was Jesus, and the remarkable things of the story that he shared. And I thought about that. And I thought about time and time again. I pray all the time, Lord, open up our hearts, open up our minds, open up our ears. God, let us receive your word. Let us hear your word. Apply your word. And when I see these conversations taking place, if you're taking note, number one is the conversation that they had with a stranger. A stranger comes in the midst of it, and my friend, and joins in their conversation. Look back with me at verse 14. They reviewed the happenings, the death and the resurrection. Seemed like it was too much for them to accept. In verse 14 it says, and they talked together all the things which had happened. My friend, they sit there, and I can imagine as they're walking hand in hand, I can imagine as they meet up and they're walking down the road together and they're talking about the events that go on, and they say, man, what did you think about the day? Man, did you see that? Man, did you hear all that they took him to? And they brought him before Caiaphas, and they brought him before Pilate. And man, he said he was going to be the Messiah. He said that he was the Jesus. He said he would be the one that would redeem Israel. But yet, it's been 3 days. Did you see, man, they crucified him. Man, they beat him with the cat of nine tails. They whooped him and they scourged him beyond measure. Not only that, but they mocked him. They had a crown of thorns and they shoved it down on his head, and the blood just ran down his face and stuff. You remember, man, as they took him to the cross and they did all that, they spit on him, they plucked out his beard. Man, as they started going and they took him to the cross, they had him carrying his own cross. You remember how he was on the way and down that road, man, he fell. fell. And then they reached out and they grabbed another soldier. They reached out and grabbed him and said, hey, you, pick up that cross and carry it for him. And they were going through these events and they were walking down. And then when they got him to the cross and they laid him down on that cross, they took his hands and they pulled it out and they beat the nails through his hands. They put it out and they beat him through there and they beat it through his knees and they beat it through his feet. And my friend, they put him and they hung him on the cross and shoved him down. And you going through these events, can you just imagine? Not only that, but while he was on that cross, he said, I thirst. And they gave him hyssops to drink with his dry mouth and things of that nature. Oh, and then while he's there, they stripped him of his garments. They stripped him of his garments, and the soldiers began to cast lots on him and cast lots at him. Oh, and then, my friend, they pierced him with a sword. Can you imagine as they were walking down that road of Emmaus and walking down there and recalling the events that took place, the sadness that were in their heart? The sadness that was in the heart. I was wishing that he was the Redeemer of Israel. I had hope in him. But they recall these events. And can you understand in the heart maybe how sad they were? But the teaching that they received, all that they had, the teaching that was going on, and they were recalling all these events. And they were taking a walk. My friend, I'm walking with Jesus. Oh, listen to me. My friend, in your life and my life, sometimes we need to take a walk with Jesus. Sometimes we need to go and we think that life is bad and we think that the world is against us and all this is happening around us and you're being attacked by the enemy and things are going wrong. My friend, take a walk with Jesus. Take a walk with Jesus and it'll brighten your day. Take a walk with him. Trust in the Lord and it'll brighten your day. Oh, my friend, walking with Jesus, I can only imagine as they strolled with him. But my friend, once Jesus opened their eyes up later on in the scripture, I can only imagine, man, we were walking with Jesus. We were walking with Jesus. He wasn't a stranger. We were walking with the Lord and talking about the events that have taken place and the things that occurred. Oh, they reviewed the happenings of the recent things of the death and resurrection. It was too much for them to comprehend. They related their knowledge of Jesus as a great prophet with a cruel fate. When you look back at verse 19 and 20, it says, and he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how that the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. They're going, and they were relating their knowledge to him. Oh, yeah, he was a great prophet. Yeah, he was a great teacher. He was a rabbi. Yes, he did these great things. My friend, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand. He was more than a mighty prophet. He was more than a rabbi. He was more than a teacher. He was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my friend. He was Jesus himself. Oh, listen, a mighty prophet. And I wonder throughout the world today, how many just look at him as, oh, he's a mighty prophet. Oh, yeah, he's a great teacher. Oh, yeah, that Bible that you read, it's wonderful ancient history. Yeah, it's all good. Well, it's more than just wonderful ancient history. It's for the present day today. The future, it was and it is and it always will be, my friend. More than a mighty prophet. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they talked about his cruel fate. They talked about what went on, my friend. Their voice was shattered. Their hope was shattered. We had hoped he would be a redeemer. In verse 21, he says this, but we trusted that he had been he which have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. My friend, their voices were shattered. Their hope was shattered as they was walking together. My friend, they said, it's 3 days. It's been 3 days since these things have happened. He's in the tomb. And my friend, their hopes were shattered. They just didn't understand. They didn't understand the scripture from the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way through Psalms, Proverbs, and listening to Malachi. They didn't understand in the minor prophets that everything led up to the crucifixion of Jesus. They didn't understand it was presented to them out of Isaiah that this was going to happen. My friend, if they would have understood the scripture and they would have realized it, they would understand. Yeah, it's been 3 days. You better be looking around. He said he's going to raise up that temple in 3 days, my friend. He would destroy, and they didn't understand. When he talked about he would destroy the temple and God will re-raise it in 3 days, they crucified him and said, what is he? Blaspheming God. What temple? He can't destroy this temple. What is he talking about? My friend, he was talking about his life, giving his life up for you and me, that it would be beaten, it would be destroyed, but he would raise it up in 3 days. Thank the Lord for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords we serve. Oh, listen, their hopes were shattered, my friend. They couldn't comprehend that. And they said, it's been 3 days. Oh, listen to me, my friend. You can understand one thing. It doesn't matter 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, or a year from now. If God promised something, my friend, he cannot lie, and it will come to pass, my friend. It will come to pass what the Lord has in plan and in store for your life and my life. Oh, as the world looked at it, the cross spelled failure, as the world would see it. The women that came to the tomb, and they visualized what was going on. My friend, it was unconvincing to these two men and unconvincing as the world would look at it. When you look at verses 22 through 24, it says, yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished and were early at the sepulcher. And when they found not his body, they came saying they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. My friend, listen, they were trying to help their hope that was shattered. Listen, I'm trying to tell you, he's not here because he's alive, my friend, is what they're trying to say. And then it goes on in verse 24 and said, certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher, and they found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. My friend, these ladies knew what was going on. They knew they went to that sepulcher, and they knew that Jesus wasn't there, and the angel of God spoke to them and said, why are you seeking the dead among the living or the living among the dead? He's not here. He's alive. He's well, my friend. And they were trying to convey that, but they were unconvincing of what they were going on. Oh, listen, the conversation with strangers, they're talking about the events that took place. My friend, there's never been a better week than this week to talk about what Jesus has done for people. Never been a better week to tell people that God loves them. Jesus died for them. Well, my friend, he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave for them. My friend, what a wonderful week to be a witness for the Lord and tell people about what Jesus is doing. Not only that, but number two, if you're taking notes, they communed with the guests. They communed with the guests, my friend, and that guest was none other than Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friend, as they were communing with him, he rebuked their dullness. Theirs was a disease of the heart, not of ears. Look at verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Oh, listen to me. They knew. They heard about it. They knew what the prophets had said. But my friend, he rebuked their dullness. Their disease was a heart and not the ears, my friend. So many times we present the gospel. So many times we preach the word of God. And my friend, we're not willing to open up our heart and receive what God has to say to us. Oh, it's my prayer, my friend, that we open up our hearts and our minds and our ears every time that we come into the house of the Lord, every time that we're in our personal moment of prayer, every time that we are personally reading God's word on our private time in church, small group, wherever it is, that God would open up our hearts and our minds and our ears and allow us to receive what his word has to say. My friend, it's our prayer that every time we get in, God, help us to understand, give us hearts to understand. Oh, not only that, but he interpreted the scriptures for them. In verses 26 through 27, what an amazing history lesson that they received in verses 26 through 27. And none other teaching them than Jesus himself. Amen. He said in verse 26 and 27, art not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And he began at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. My friend, what a better history teacher than the one King of Kings and Lord of Lords himself. Couldn't nobody tell the story any better than the one that went through it. Amen. And here he was, my friend, communing with them. Here he was, my friend, communing with the guests, and the guest was Jesus. And Jesus took them where? He took them where? To the Word. He took them to the Scripture. He expounded on the Scripture from Moses all the way through the minor prophets all the way into Malachi. My friend, he told them about the Word of God. And that's your job and my job, is to open up that Word, expound on that teaching, and tell people about the love of God and what God has done in their life. My friend, it's our job to open it up. It's our job to expound on that and understand and give an understanding of that. What an amazing history lesson that they received from God himself. Oh, listen, suffering and death is God's plan. The redemption woven in fabric throughout all the world is what God designed for us. In Hebrews 9, in verse 15 through 28, it says this. It said, and for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, my friend, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. He said, for where a testament is, there must also be of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of force after the man are dead. Otherwise, it is no strength at all while the testator living. My friend, not only does it take the shedding of blood, but it takes the death and the shedding of blood, my friend, to cover sins in your life and my life. He says, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with what? Blood. And without the what? Shedding of blood, there is what? No remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be what? Purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. And then he says, for Christ is not entered into a holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the truth, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he offer, have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away what? Sin by the sacrifice of what? Himself, my friend. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was what? Once offered to bear what? The sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. My friend, listen to me. I'm telling you, they were communion with a guest. My friend, they just had a history lesson. They just understood the suffering and the death that the Lord went through. An understanding. It took the death. It took the shedding of blood. It took the death of him, my friend, that covered a multitude of sin. Without the shedding of blood, without the death of Christ, there would be no remission of sin, my friend. He is the ultimate sacrifice. All the blood of the bullocks and the goats and things of that nature that were offered up by the priest had to be done every year. My friend, Jesus paid the price for you and me. He paid it once. Never more would it have to be done again, my friend. All we have to do is accept it, believe it, apply what he says to our life, my friend, and believe in his word, and my friend, and ask him to come in our heart and be our Lord and Savior, and he does. And my friend, when you or I have a problem and we sin against God, my friend, he tells us to confess it to him. And he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Are we willing to take it to the cross today? Are we willing to give the Lord that opportunity? Because he died for you and me. My friend, he took it all the way. Not only that, but if you're taking notes, and the third thing I see is to communion. As I said, he had a conversation with the strangers, a communion with the guests. He goes on and talking about he was a guest who became a host. When you look at verses 28 through 32, he was a guest that became a host. Look at 28 through 32. He said, and they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. He was invited, my friend, a guest that became a host. He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he taught with us by the way, and while he opened up to us the scripture? Oh, listen to me. He was a guest that became a host. My friend, they stopped. They invited him in. Oh, listen to me. Jesus is a guest here today, my friend, but he wants to be a host in your life. He wants you, my friend, to invite him into your heart. Oh, listen to me. We have to invite him in. He's a guest, my friend. He wants in, but the invitation is given to you. You have to invite him in for him to become Lord and Savior and King of your life. Oh, he was a guest, my friend. I became a host because he was invited in. He broke the bread. He gave to them. He blessed it, my friend. Oh, and not only that, but he was recognized in verse 31. It said, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Oh, listen to me. Do you recognize Christ today? Do you recognize him today? Have your eyes been open, my friend? Oh, listen, if you don't recognize him, and your eyes have never been open, he wants to be Lord of your life today. He wants to be that guest that wants to be a host, my friend, to take control of your life and my life. Oh, listen, do you know him today? Do you know him? Have you made him personal Lord and Savior of your life? He wants to come in, my friend. He wants to be a part of your life. Do you recognize Christ today? He caused their hearts to burn, my friend. In verse 32, he said, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he taught with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? My friend, is my desire. My friend, is my desire that our hearts burn within us today. Does your heart have a burning desire to work for the Lord? Does it have a burning desire to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? Oh, my friend, listen to me. When we get in that Word of God and we open up that Word of God, we should have a burning desire in our heart to get in here. We should have a burning desire of our heart to mark it up, to read it. My friend, a burning desire that we want to be where God has lifted up, that we want to sing praises unto Him, that we want to open up His Word and read it. There should be a desire, a burning desire in our heart for the Lord, a burning desire to be doing about the things of Christ, a burning desire in our life. If He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if He's first in your life, my friend, there should be a burning desire in there, a desire that you want to get in God's Word, a desire that you want to open it up, a desire that you want to read it, a desire that you want to be faithful to Him because He died for you and me, my friend. Is there a burning desire in our heart for the things of the Lord? Oh, listen to me. If there's ever been a time, Randy, that it needs to be a burning desire in our life, it's now. Right. It's now in the world that we're living in. If there's ever been a time, Brother Bill, it's now. Yes. That we need a burning desire in our heart to be about the things of God. Tom, if there's ever been a time, Bubba, it's now that we got to have a burning desire in our heart. A burning desire, Stream. A burning desire, Adam. A burning desire to be about the things of God. God give us a burning desire in our heart because of what you did on the cross of Calvary. God, you took my sins up there. You hung them up there. God, you nailed them to the cross. God, give me a burning desire to serve you because you're a risen Savior. I don't serve one that's dead. My friend, we ought to have a burning desire when it comes to being about the things of God. He said, did not our hearts burn within us in verse 32. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened up the scriptures, my friend, when we open up the scripture, whether it's somebody opening it up to us or wherever we at on our own, there ought to be a burning desire for the things of the Lord, a burning desire to be about what God would have us to be. Oh, what shame, joy, and understanding that came to them. Oh, listen, changed doubt to certainty with the two disciples. It changed despair to hope, and it changed sadness to joy. My friend, that's what the Lord wants to do in your heart and my heart today. That's what he wants to do with us, change our doubt to certainty. You can be certain of the things of the Lord, my friend. They won't fail you. Change that to certainty. Our despair to hope, my friend. He wants to give you hope for your despair in your life today. He wants to turn your sadness into joy, my friend. And he wants to turn your destiny of hell into eternal salvation in heaven with him. Do you hear him today? Do you recognize Christ? If you recognize him and you hear what he's saying, what are you going to do about the things of the Lord? The Holy Spirit seeks to burn the message into our hearts. As I said in verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? Oh, listen to me. God wants to take his message and burn it into your heart and my heart today. Oh, not only that, but the last thing. Number three, if you're taking notes, communication with other witnesses. Communication with other witnesses. Look back at verse 33 and through 35 in closing. It said, and they arose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found what? 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how it was known of them in breaking of the bread. Oh, they rushed to share the good news. My friend, they couldn't wait to get out and tell somebody. After Jesus vanished from them, they wanted to run, and they wanted to find somebody. They wanted to find the 11 that was with them, and they wanted to share with whoever they come in contact with about the things that Jesus was doing. Oh, listen, they told of the things that happened in verse 35. Read it with me again. It said, and they what? They told what things were done in the way and how it was known of them and breaking of the bread. Oh, my friends, listen, they told. They told. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? When's the last time you invited somebody to come to church? When's the last time you told them about the exciting news that Jesus loved you so much that he died for you, my friend? That it didn't matter what you did in life. He loved you. He went to the cross for you to die for your sins. When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time you told them about the love of God? When's the last time you shared with them about what God was doing? Oh, listen, when Jesus left these two disciples, my friend, they had a burning desire in their heart. When we come together as a body of Christ and we leave here, there should be a burning desire in our heart that when we hit them doors, we can't wait to come in contact with somebody to tell them about the love of God. That we can't wait to come in contact with somebody to invite them about coming back to church. And that we can't wait to go tell somebody about the Lord and tell them, hey, if you come, I even come back with you on Sunday night and Wednesday too.
That's right.
Amen.
I love you.
Preach it.
I love you, Jesus. Amen. I love you, Jesus. You're amazing, Lord. You died for me. You gave your heart and life for me. I love you enough to tell others about you. I love you enough to invite others to come to church. And I love you enough that if you'll come, I'll meet you there also on a Sunday night and Wednesday.
Amen.
And about five of you said amen. Folks, listen to me. It's time we get busy about the Lord's work. Amen. Time we get busy about what God is doing. Oh, listen, a vision of the risen and reigning Christ determines our values and empowers our witness. How is it determining your values and empowering your witness? Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Christ died for you, amen? He gave his all for you. And my friend, he could have stopped short of the cross, but he didn't. He went all the way. He went all the way. A vision of the risen and reigning Christ determines our values and empowers our witness. How are we doing in that? A walk with the Lord will change our lives. A walk with the Lord will change our desires. A walk with the Lord will prioritize our life in the things that come about Christ. Amen. Jesus seeks to walk with each and every one of us. Jesus seeks to walk with each and every one of us. He seeks to walk with each and every one of us.
Amen.
Do we seek to walk with Him?
Amen.
You know, as I said earlier, you know, Jesus was walking down that road of Emmaus. There were two walking. Tom, Serena, come here. There were two walking alone. Randy, come in behind us. We're walking together, and they're talking about the events that took place. Walking, and all of a sudden, a stranger shows up as they're walking, and they're talking about the events that's going on. That stranger says, "What are you talking about? What's happening?" And he said, "Well, you didn't hear that Jesus, that Son of God, the Redeemer, that one that we would hope that would have redeemed Israel, that was delivered up to the chief priest, that was delivered up to him. They crucified him. They crucified him. They killed him. You know, it's been the third day since these things have happened. It's been the third day. We would have hoped he was the Redeemer for us and the Redeemer of Israel." Oh, listen. As they walked in their commune, Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith. My friend, and then that guest that was with them became a host. Y'all stop. Became a host. That host began to serve the guest. He turned around. That host opened up the Word of God. He began to teach to them from the Old Testament all the way through the New. From Genesis all the way through Psalms, Proverbs, Isaiah, all the way into Malachi. All things that pointed back to Him. Then He served them. He broke the bread with them. He blessed it. He gave it to them. And their eyes were opened up. Did not our hearts burn within us while He taught us His Word? While He opened up to us the Scripture? Oh, do we have a burning desire? Thank you. Do we have a burning desire to be about the Lord? Do we have a burning desire to allow the Lord to walk with us? Do we have a burning desire to want to walk with the Lord? Oh, it's my prayer. My friend, if you don't, you will have that desire today. Oh, you don't really know what a fulfilled life is until you walk with the Lord. Until you give it to Him fully.
They had Christian heartburn.
They had Christian heartburn. Didn't need no Prilosec. That's what I like right there. Amen. I would to God that all of us have some Christian heartburn. Amen. And don't require no Prilosec, no Prevacid, or no Nexium. I know what they're all about. Oh, heartburn for Jesus.